You can go ahead and be seated when you return back to your seats. And I want to get right into our message tonight. How many of you remember the story of Alice in Wonderland? How do you remember that story? When we read the story of Alice in Wonderland, you ran into a rather odd fellow, a character in the story, and the character I'm referencing to is a cat, which was referred to as the Cheshire Cat, and he was noted to have this unique grin on his face. And there's a conversation that happens between Alice and the Cheshire Cat when Alice asks the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat replies, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice responds to the cat. She says, "I don't much care where." Then the cat gives his ever wise answer to that, and he says, "Then it really doesn't matter which way you go. So as long as I get somewhere," Alice adds to that explanation mark. The cat says, "Oh, you're sure enough to do that if you only walk long enough." So here we have Alice lost somewhere in Wonderland, and she's not for sure where she needs to go, and she asks directions from the cat, and the cat responds, "Where do you want to go?" And she says, "I don't really know where I want to go." Then he says, "It doesn't much matter which direction you go then. If you walk long enough, perhaps maybe you'll find out where that place is." So here we have Alice lost, not really knowing where she came from, nor seemingly caring as to where she goes, just as long as it is somewhere. Now we can laugh at that and we can say, "Boy, that's kind of really silly, that's kind of really crazy," but yet when we really look at this, no doubt times in our life, or maybe even right now in your life, you are in that exact same spot. We really don't know where we're going, so we'll never know if we have yet arrived. We don't always understand why things may happen to us. Perhaps maybe you're at work and things are going great, and you had all of this favor with your work and the environment, but now there's a conflict and everything is a struggle and you no longer enjoy what you once enjoyed. Sometimes God will allow us to be uncomfortable now so he can bless us later on. Understand, God will close a door. We may not like it that he closed the door, but don't understand, we may not understand why God closed a door, but sometimes God closes a door so he can open up a bigger door and lead us into a higher level of our destiny and where he desires for us to go. We got to understand something tonight, church, that God is not as concerned about our comfort as he is our purpose. And there are times that God will just simply mess up our lives. A friend may do you wrong. You may lose a loved one that you just cannot understand. Perhaps your business is going into bankruptcy. God at times will use loss. He will use betrayal. He will use persecution to force us to change. God is not trying to make our lives miserable. He's trying to push us into our purpose. Every closed door that God closes is not always a bad thing, and every person that walks away from us in our life is not always a mistake. God knows that we wouldn't go anywhere typically in our life unless He is pushing us. When everything is good, we become comfortable and we don't have to stretch ourselves out. We don't want to have to find new friends or develop new skills, or we don't want to step out into the unknown. And what if it doesn't work out? And what if we don't like it? But if God had not closed certain doors in our lives, we would be satisfied to stay exactly where we are or where we were. You see, God loves us too much. God loves us too much to allow you and I to miss our destiny, to miss our calling, to miss the will that He has for your life. You and I have too much potential. We have too much talent. We have too much in us to get stuck where we are. God will push and use these situations that force us to stretch ourselves out. And in that stretching out process, that helps us to grow. Every difficulty that we've been through, every bad break, every person that may have done you wrong, that wasn't meant to stop you, it was meant to push you, to mature you in Christ, and to make you a stronger person. It's deposited something on the inside of each and every one of us, and it's made you into who you are tonight. It's made us who we are. I've often made this statement: I am nothing more than a culmination of all of the people that I have ever brushed shoulders with in my life. I pick up a little here, you pick up a little there, you leave a little here, you leave a little there. Every person deposits something into your life. It makes you into who you are. You wouldn't be prepared for the new levels that God desires us to reach if we had not had something go wrong through our life. And if we don't complain about what didn't work out, sometimes we like to complain about things. The job you lost, maybe the loved one that went to be with the Lord. It was all part of God's plan. When you face a difficulty, especially things that you don't understand, instead of sometimes being critical, sometimes we complain, we get into a negative state. I want you to have this new perspective tonight. This is not meant to stop me, but this was meant to push me and to promote me into what God has for my life. It may be uncomfortable. I may not like it. But I know God is using it to push me into a new level, to push me to a greater level of influence in my life, to push me into my purpose. So tonight I wish to challenge us. I wish to push us, to try to force us into our divine purpose. But as we preach this message, teach this message, many of us here tonight are going to remain trapped in our comfort zone. So if I could tonight, I'm just going to title this message, Trapped in Our Comfort Zone. It's a message about God pushing us into your purpose. I want to start reading tonight Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I know both now to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We all have a comfort zone. We all have a space where no one else is welcome in our lives. Any infringement, perhaps, upon that space can cause major discomfort. It can lead to major disaster. But tonight, I believe that God is calling us to leave our comfort zone, and God is desiring to push us into his purpose. Now, when we look at the Apostle Paul, he was the writer of the book of Philippians. There is no one outside of probably Paul in the New Testament that was an expert at being outside of his comfort zone. You see, there's nothing comfortable about being shipwrecked. There's nothing comfortable about being stoned. There's nothing comfortable about being beaten. There's nothing comfortable about being in a Roman prison. There's nothing comfortable than being on a remote island bitten by a snake. There's nothing comfortable about being left for dead. And there's nothing comfortable about being bound up in chains. And he realized he didn't have to be comfortable as long as he was content where he was in God. You see, he realized that God had a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And to understand and fulfill God's purpose in his life, Paul realized he had to get out of his zone of comfort. Church, we need to realize that God's calling doesn't always put us in a comfortable position. He doesn't always make everything rosy, and it doesn't always make everything perfect, and it doesn't always make sense to us, but it always makes us better if we submit to his will and to his authority. It will always bring contentment. I would rather be uncomfortable and saved than be comfortable and lost. Almost everything that God has planned for you and I, it calls for us to break out of a comfort level and take on some risk in our lives. You see, God called Abraham literally from the center of civilization to go out into a land that he knew absolutely nothing about. He gave up his security, he gave up his comfort, and he just headed west. Very little can happen for positive change if you and I, we continue to desire to stay in that comfort zone. When Jesus said to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him, he was saying in essence that we need to break from our comfort zone for something useful for the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus, when the rich young ruler, when I look at this story, I could look at the rich young ruler and say, you know what, he was basically a really good guy. When you look at it, he was raised from his childhood to be obedient to the commandments of God. We could look around here and we could see our young people and we could say this person would fit in that area. They've been raised as a good child. They've been raised and they've been obedient to the commandments of God. As he grew up, he was a very successful Jew. He was both rich and he was a ruler. So he had achieved two of the most frequent dreams that men have. They want to be rich and they want to be in charge. And he had both of them. He had a dream of power and a dream of possessions. Yet for some reason there was something inside of him that was not content. And he had some doubt about his relationship to God. And his religion was very obvious. It was a very mechanical and a very legalistic religion. He kept the commandments out of a sense of duty. And it was out of a matter of habit that he kept those commandments. And he did not feel that perhaps he had that personal relationship with God. And so he had no assurance maybe in his life of eternal life. Jesus knew this young man. He knew what made him tick. He knew what was going on, the conflict that was going on inside of his life. And it was typical of many people in Israel at that day who had developed a mere legalistic religion. The scribes and the Pharisees, we know the history behind that. They were very good at their legalistic religion, a religion where they had a lot of rules, and yet they cared little or nothing about the needs of the people. They were religious and they were wealthy and they had good life and they were content with it. You see, when Jesus called out this rich young ruler, he shocked this young man. He shocked this young man by what he had to say. He said, "You lack one thing that you're missing." Jesus told him to sell all that he had and give it to the poor, and then come follow him. Now, when you think about this, I can't find anywhere else in the Gospels, that Jesus ever said this to anyone else. You see, when Jesus called his disciples, understand one thing about his disciples. Go in and study into Jewish history. Study into to some of the history behind the disciples. They weren't just homeless men wandering around the Sea of Galilee just looking for the next place that they could park and find a good meal. They weren't just lazy men that just sat around a campfire at night and chewed the fat and told funny stories and such. These men, these 12 men that Jesus called, they were ambitious men in their fields. They were go-getters. They were hard workers. Other rich people became the disciples of Jesus, and he never told them to sell everything and give to the poor. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Zacchaeus and Matthew and Peter and Andrew and James and John. These were men that had wealth. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they had a quite wealthy fishing business. And it stretched all along the coast of Galilee all the way down to Capernaum. They had a lot of hired hands in their fishing business. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." You see, the point that Jesus is using to this rich young ruler is to teach a major lesson, I believe, to all of us. The truly committed person is one who is willing to break out of a comfort zone for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you're content to stay stuck within your zone of comfort, you will not allow God to push you, and you will not allow God to push you out of that comfort zone. Then you simply become unavailable to be useful, to fulfill God's dream or God's desire, God's will for your life. But giving up the comfort, giving up oneself and allowing God to push you into an area and push you into the unknown is a key sign that reveals that a person is serious about the dream that God has for them. You see, we often say, "No pain, no gain." When I read that statement, "No pain, no gain," that is really a biblical principle. When you look at it, when I look over my life, I can see the pivotal moments in my life where I really grew. I can see the times where I really stepped up into a new level. And the common denominator was I was pushed. There was pain. And in the pushing and in the pain, there was gain. I didn't like it all the time. I didn't like it most of the time. I was uncomfortable and I wanted to stay where I was, yet God kept closing doors in my life, forcing me to take a step of faith. You see, I was pushed into my purpose, and I had to be willing to leave my zone of comfort in order to fulfill what God had. Sometimes we're praying against the very thing that God has ordained, and we're praying against what God has set into motion in our lives. Listen, the enemy doesn't close every door that is closed. Sometimes God closes the door, and there have been times in my life when God says, "I'm going to close this door." And when that door was closed, there was pain, there was hurt, there was unknowing what is coming next. There was unfamiliarity. It becomes frustrating if you don't know what is coming next. Have you ever thought about Israel? I thought of this today. Israel at the banks of the Red Sea. We think of this a lot. We can hear and we can paint the picture of the Egyptian army thundering across the desert and sand, dust blowing up, and thousands of Egyptian soldiers coming after Moses and the children of Israel, and God opens up the Red Sea, performs a miracle, delivers them from Israel. You see, God opened up a door for Israel, but he closed a door at the same time. He opened up a door to freedom. He opened up a door to a new mission in their lives, but he closed the door of their past behind them. And when he closed it permanently. You see, sometimes God moves people out of our life because he knows that they would become a crutch to us. God knew he had to close that door so that Israel would never go back to Egypt. And sometimes in our lives, God moves people in and out of our lives because they become a crutch. And they would keep us from our destiny. They would keep us from reaching that purpose. And they would keep us in our zone of comfort. You see, sometimes God causes things to dry up in our lives to force us to change. Remember Elijah beside the creek being chased by Jezebel? What happened to that creek? It ran for a while. It sustained him for a while, but there came a point when God says, I'm ready to move you. You've got a higher calling. You've got a higher purpose. You can't sit by this creek all of your life. And God caused the creek to dry up. You see, sometimes we need to quit being depressed over someone that walked away or someone that left you in your life. You see, I understand this in my life. Their time was up because it's time for you. It's time for me to step into a new season. If the door closed, we go through disappointment. Don't complain about that disappointment because you're about to be pushed into your purpose. You're about to see growth that you never thought you had. You're about to see things change. New opportunities, new friendships, new relationships will open up. You see, we find a great example of this in the scripture. I never really looked at this before, but the prophet Samuel spent years pouring himself in to King Saul. He had mentored him as a young man. He loved him like his own son. But unfortunately, there was something inside of Saul. Saul just simply couldn't do what was right. Reading out of 1 Samuel 15, 2 through 9, this is the modern English version, which is a more of a paraphrased version. Verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. And do not have compassion on them, but put to death both men and women, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the best of the fatlings and lambs. And in 1 Samuel 15, 10 through 11, and then came the word of the Lord to Samuel saying, I regret that I have set up Saul to be king because he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my words. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. Samuel was so heartbroken because he felt like he had wasted all of this time. Then God spoke to the prophet in 1 Samuel 16:1, and he says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way.'" God was telling Samuel, "Listen, I've rejected Saul as king over Israel. Remove him from your life. I want you to fill up your horn with oil, and I got a mission for you." God was saying, quit being depressed over who walked away in your life. Quit being sour over what didn't work out. If it wasn't supposed to stay, or if they weren't supposed to stay, they would have stayed. And God went on to tell Samuel. What did he tell Samuel? In 1 Samuel 16:1, "I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Notice the principle that God is teaching Samuel here. He says, if you'll stop being discouraged over who left your life, I will send the right people. As long as you're complaining about the Sauls that didn't work out, if they wouldn't have left me, you're going to get stuck. You're going to stay stuck. But when you accept it, you move forward. You're not only going to step into a new level in your life, but God's going to bring a David into your life. God's going to bring someone that is going to make a difference in your life. You see, that David will show up. The right people will be there for every season of your life. If God doesn't stir up the nest, if God doesn't get in there sometimes and mess around in our lives, he's not trying to harm us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to push us into a bigger destiny with him. God has so many levels. He has so many levels. I can't begin to comprehend and understand. But God has new levels of favor. He has new levels of influence. He has new levels of resources. His dream for your life is bigger than you could ever imagine. And every time that I have seen major growth, I've stepped up into a new level. Why? It's because I allowed God to push. Was there adversity? Yes. Was it challenging? Yes. Did I feel at times personal loss? Yes. Maybe you're in a situation right now that you could so easily be discouraged. Your business didn't work out, or the enemy's trying to harm you. But God is going to use that for your good. You see, God didn't allow it to stop you. God is allowing it to push you. You're going to come out of this stronger. You're going to come out of this healthier. You're going to come out of this wiser. You're going to come out of this increased. You're going to come out of this better off than you were before. That problem, that pain is going to push you into your purpose. You see, you're about to open a new door. And you're about to take a new and a higher level. You see, when you're being pushed, it means that the door is open. God's not going to push you into a closed door. It means the door is open. Something new is coming. There's new growth. There's new influence. God wouldn't be pushing you if it was any other way. You see, when you're pushed, I want to tell you tonight, you may feel right now that you're being pushed. Maybe you're resisting the push. Get ready, because something good is coming our way. Something good is coming your way. When we look at a little baby, we've had some births here lately. When we look at a little baby, I want to use this in the he gender if I can, being a man speaking. You have that little boy that's in the womb for 9 months and everything's great. He's comfortable there. He doesn't have to do anything. I mean, he gets all of his food from mama. He gets carried around everywhere he goes. He doesn't have to provide his own transportation. He can sleep whenever he wants to sleep. It's peaceful. It's calm. Life is good. He's healthy. He's growing. He's maturing. That's the way it's supposed to be. But let me propose to you, what if 9 months comes and goes and 10 months comes and goes and 11 months comes and goes and it's going on a year? How do you think things are going to get? You see, if he stays in that womb too long, if we stay in our comfort zone too long, instead of being a blessing, that womb can become a curse. It can become too small. It will keep him from his destiny, and it most definitely will limit his future potential. There comes a time when he has to come out. You see, there comes a time when it's time to deliver. And in that delivery, it's going to get uncomfortable. It's going to get traumatic. And up to this point, all he's known is peace and calm and laying around and doing nothing. And now it seems like all hell is broke loose in his life. He thinks, what in the world is going on with mama? What are you trying to do to me? Has she lost her mind? She's trying to kill me. I'm being pushed. I'm being squeezed. I'm being pressured. Imagine what's going on there. He gets pushed again and pushed again and pushed again. And finally, he breaks free. And he's born into this world. He breathes new life, and he steps into a whole new realm of possibility. You see, this is the same principle that God uses with us. We may say, God, things have never been more tight in my life. Things have never been more uncomfortable. I've never been under more pressure in my life. I look back over the last few months, and there's been pressure. There's been things that have been pushing. And we say, what in the world is happening? I liked it when it was all peaceful. I want to go back to how it was, but we can't stay in the womb any longer. God is saying, in that womb, in that protected place, it won't be a blessing if you stay there too long. It will keep you from becoming all that God has created you to be. You see, God controls our universe. He knows what's best for you and me. And if you're being pushed, it's because there's a door that is open and your comfort zone is an enemy of your future, and it's a hindrance to your success and a stumbling block to your destiny. Listen, church, if we stay in our comfort zone, we will never leave or surpass our current reality or our current state of position. We will never go any further than where we are right now. There are a number of ways for you to get out of your comfort zone. We don't always like the options that we have. But of the different ways that I've come up with tonight, number one, if you're taking notes, you have to realize why you are where you are. Okay, Alice in Wonderland didn't have a clue where she was, thus she didn't have a clue where she needed to go. You see, we got to realize why we are where we are. You see, if you're working the same job in the same position you were 10 years ago, if you're still paying off that same credit card debt that you've been paying off since you first put a charge on that credit card. It's time for some self-examination on your part. Max Dupree made a statement, "We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are." You see, you've got to know why you are where you are. Is it fear that's keeping you where you are? Is it a desire to just be comfortable with your surroundings and in the things that you do on a daily basis? If you don't like where you are, then why in the world would you want to continue living where you are? You see, some people continue to live in their comfort zone because of laziness. You see, understand one thing about God. God doesn't do laziness. I'm just going to tell you. God doesn't do laziness. We can read in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 6 and 7 in the Living Bible, it says, "Now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority. Stay away from any Christian who spends his days in laziness and does not follow the ideal of hard work we set up for you." 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, "Yet we hear that some of you are living in laziness, refusing to work and wasting your time in gossiping." You see, if there's one more thing that God dislikes more than laziness, it's excuses. Excuses, by their nature, imply limitations or an inability to break through any barriers that you may have in your life. You see, God does not impose any limitations on us except that we obey his instructions. Sadly, many of the imagined limitations that we impose on ourselves are self-imposed limitations. They're limits that we put on ourselves. Regardless of why you are, where you are, once you realize that you're accountable to God, it's time to pack our bags, leave our comfort zone. Whether we're in a 5-star resort or whether we're living out underneath a tree, we got to get going. We got to move. Number 2, let go of what's holding you back. There are times in my life when God was pushing and I didn't want to let go. I remember talking to my father down at his house, having a very pointed life conversation. I thought about the conversation that came up about what's holding you back. What are you afraid of? I asked him, I said, "Have you ever been afraid of failure?" He said, "Every time God's called me into any type of a ministry, any type of a mission, I've never been afraid of failure because God wouldn't call me into something and let me fail. If God called me and I'm true to that calling and I stay true to his plan, I can't fail. God's not going to send you on a mission of failure." So I want to ask you tonight, what's holding you back? You see, if you don't face your fears, we've had people say, "Well, you need to face your fears." If you never face your fears, they're going to keep you from growing. If you don't face what you perceive to be your inadequacies, your shortcomings, they're going to be magnified. And if you're wondering what people are going to think if you fail in your new endeavor, you're worried about the wrong person. You need to be more concerned about what God thinks than what any other person thinks. There comes a point and a time when you're going to have to realize that what you've been doing is not working, and you need to let go. You need to shake it up. You need to change what you've been doing and do something else. The old proverbial statement, the sure key to failure is doing the same thing over and over and over again with the same results. But yet there are times in our lives when we just keep running in to that proverbial block wall, only to have it knock us down and get up and think if we run at it at a different angle, it's going to change things. Or if we change our speed, or maybe if we approach things different. But you see, some things, sometimes we just have to try something new and forget about the old. I made mention of this, I think it was in our prayer meeting, in the Star Trek TV series. I don't mention a lot of TV series, but it was on the Starship Enterprise that their statement was, boldly going where no man has gone before. You see, church, it's time to forget sometimes the way things used to be done or have never been done, because if we limit our future because of our past, you're never going to succeed. You understand that? If you limit your future because of your past, you will never succeed. One thing is required to move out of your comfort zone. You have to stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life at what was or could have been. Stop looking behind you. Luke 9:62 paraphrase says, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is no use in the kingdom of God. You see, some folks never move out of their comfort zone because of the sins and the failures of their past. If that's you, this next scripture should make you stand up and shout. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions. For my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If God is saying, I will forget your past. I will forget your transgressions. I will blot them out for my own sake. Then who are we to continually use them as stumbling blocks to our purpose and our future? Remember, God can't do something new in your life as long as you're staying where you are. A ship in a harbor is safe. But you see, ships were not designed and built to stay in harbors. There's a time when we have to get out of the safety of the harbor. And we have to get out into the open sea where God is calling us. Number four, good habits will move you up and out, and bad habits will bring you down. Young people, this is really important. Maybe some of you, even older folks, may say, what's a habit? A habit is simply something you do so often that it becomes easy. In other words, it's a behavior that you just keep repeating over and over and over and over again. That's a habit. Negative habits tend to breed negative consequences. Successful habits tend to bring positive rewards. I want you to ponder this question and think about it before you answer this. You might even want to write down a few of these possibilities. So here's the question tonight I want to ask. What one habit would you like to have more than anything else in the world? And we're talking about trapped in our comfort zone. We're talking about moving into the purpose that God has called us. What's that one habit that you would like to have more than anything else in the world? Job 22:26 says, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. You see, the first step to establishing a new habit is making a decision. You have to make a decision. You have to purpose in your heart that you're going to start acting a specific way 100% of the time. Not just when you're in church, Not just when you're in Bible study, not just when you're around church people, but 100% of the time. The second step is to simply act in that same specific way for at least 21 days in a row. Work at it. Don't give up if you're not perfect. Practice until you make it perfect. You may say 21 days. 21 days is what specialists, people smarter than I have determined that that's how long it takes to develop a habit. I think maybe that's why Daniel went on a 21-day fast. That's why we're going on a 21-day fast. You see, if you do something for 21 days in a row, it will become a habit. And with our fast coming up, success is a habit. Did you know that? You wonder why some people are successful in life, always successful? Because they make it a habit of being successful. But did you also know that mediocrity and failure are also habits? Did you know that? A positive mental attitude is a habit. I'm not trying to be new agey here, but a positive mental attitude is a habit. I don't know that I've ever seen Pastor Thomas in a bad, positive mental attitude state. Even when he's fishing and things are going bad, he's still thankful that he's in Canada fishing. I've never seen him. Why? Because it's a habit of his. It's a habit of his. Debt-free living is a habit. Living in debt is a habit. These are habits. Exercise is a habit. Not exercising, it's a habit. All of you non-exercisers out there, when you look at each other and you're smiling, I see that, it's a habit. It's a habit. Everything you're doing in your life right now, everything we're doing in our lives right now, we're in a habit of doing. And I want to challenge us, the whole church, when we go into our 21 days of fast again this year, let's break some habits. Let's break some habits. Let's make some changes and make those changes permanently. But by the same token, everything that you're not doing right now, you're in a habit of not doing. So if you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, it's because you're in a habit of not doing it. The only way to change a habit of not doing something is to start doing it. It won't happen any other way. It's that simple. It's that simple. You have to make a decision to change, and it will take effort on your part, on my part. We have to create the right habits so we'll move out of our zone of comfort. Number five, maybe you need somebody different in your foxhole. This is a military term. If you want to break free from your comfort zone, you just may need to break free from some of the people you've been hanging around with. This was one of the biggest changes in my life. Make no mistake, your attitude, your speech, and behavior are directly affected by who you hang around with. If they're comfortable in their comfort zone, they're not going to do anything to move, then you're going to be comfortable in your comfort zone because you're not doing anything to move. And when you're in the midst of the battle and someone yells, "Incoming," it's important to know who's with you in your foxhole. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Do your friends encourage you, or do they discourage you? Do they ignore your dreams and hopes and plans for the future? In this game we call life, You don't need anyone holding you back as you seek to break free and break out of that zone of comfort that's been holding you hostage. You see, holding is a penalty in football. How many times has your team made that 50, 60, 70-yard run all the way to the end zone, and you're excited other than there's a flag at the line of scrimmage, and you know in your heart what that flag is? It's holding on the offensive line. That's why somebody was able to break through and get 50, 60, 70 yards, because somebody was holding somebody back. You see, your friends are either empowering you and encouraging you, or they're trying to pull you down and keep you at their level. I want you to go home, get a sheet of paper. Maybe you can write this down if you listen to it. I should have maybe provided something for you tonight, but I didn't. And I apologize for that. I want you to write down the following information about maybe 5, 6, or 7 of your closest friends. This is going to tell you whether or not who will bring value into helping you move out of your comfort zone. I want you to put their name down. Write their name down. And I want you to ask this question: what does this person add to my life? This is just good foundational living, folks. What does this person add to my life? What's the greatest negative influence this person has on my life? People are going to affect you one of two ways. What was the last positive idea, the last scripture or thought this person shared with me? You want to know where you're going in your life? You want to get out of your zone of comfort? Look who is around you. Does this person motivate me to be all that I can be for the kingdom of God? If you plan to leave your comfort zone, it's a fact that most of your friends would rather stay where they are than to move up. Point number 6, this is a little hard. We need to sometimes travel. We need to travel from stupidity, bypass ignorance, and arrive in wisdom. You see, if you're living in a comfort zone, it's because you don't know something or you're not willing to do something with what you know. Now, Romans 1:13 says, "Now I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So according, when we look at this, according to Strong's Concordance, the word ignorance means not knowing. Okay? Simply said, ignorance is not knowing all of the facts. Now, that's ignorance. I'm ignorant when it comes to certain medical things. I have no idea. When all the nurses in the church get together, start talking about stuff, I have no idea. Computer guys, I'm even worse when they start talking about computer language. Now, I can be ignorant, not knowing all the facts, or I can be stupid. Let me tell you what stupid is. Stupid is knowing all the facts, but choosing not to do anything about that information and the insight that information brings to you. You see, Ben Franklin said, "We are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid." Now, this sounds really, really crude. This is really hard. But you see, if you lack knowledge, it's not your fault because knowledge, or it's your fault, I'm sorry. If you lack knowledge, it's your fault because knowledge is available. The Word of God is knowledge. Read it. Follow it. Live it. Psalms 119:66 says, "I believe in your commandments. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge." How do you get knowledge and wisdom? You see them in Proverbs 4:7 when it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Increased wisdom will propel you out of your comfort zone. Let me ask you just a few questions here in closing, okay? Just write down. All you got to do is write down in your mind a yes or no. That's all you got to write down. Do I read my Bible on a daily basis? It's a yes or no. Do you take notes on what you've read? Does the Holy Spirit bring things to your remembrance as you read and or take your notes? Are you reading any book other than the Bible at this very moment? Is that book a motivational book? Is it an inspirational book? Or is it a practical book? And if you're reading a motivational, inspiration, and a practical, I'm not talking about a Louis L'Amour, are you taking notes as you read this book? And is the Holy Ghost stirring things up in your life as you read that book? If you answered no to more than one of these questions, you just may be enjoying living in your comfort zone. Get wisdom. God wants us to move from where we are to where He wants us to be. And that, most assuredly, church, is not in our comfort zone. If we could stand at this time, if our musicians can come. You see, we must allow God, as we enter into this new season, we enter into a new year, we must allow God to push us into our purpose. No matter the pain, no matter the frustration, at times the disappointment, anger, we must allow God to push us into our purpose. So tonight, in closing, I know I've gone a long time tonight. I don't want us to just take this message and put it on a shelf and say, that was some good information. We need to start living our purpose. We need to allow God to get us out of our comfort area. I gotta be honest, church, I hate it when God does this sometimes. I sometimes no more seemingly get settled in, and it's like God's pushing you again. Sometimes you just want to say, God, enough. I can't take anymore. And God says, no, you got to keep going. We got to keep going. We can't stop. We don't have time to just stop and get comfortable. We got to keep going. So if this is you tonight, I just want to open up this altar for you to come down. If you're trapped in your zone of comfort, listen, you could be over a ministry. You can teach Bible studies. You can do everything as the rich young ruler. You can have everything just perfect and still be in a comfort zone. And God is trying to push us, church. He's trying to push us. Are we going to allow Him to push us, or are we going to stubborn and dig in? Say, God, I want to stay right where I am. So can we pray tonight? Husbands, wives, let's pray. Let's say, God, sad part about it is because enough people didn't want to go into the land of promise. They were all held back.
to the place where your
and if enough people won't allow God to push them out of their comfort zone, it can hold an entire congregation.
My heart is set free from all shame and guilt.
God is pushing. Lord, I pray tonight, God. Lord, help us, God. Help us, God, Lord. God, take us, Lord, to heights, Lord, that we have never reached, God. Heights that now, Lord, we may be afraid that we don't have the ability to get there. God, I pray, Lord, take us, Lord, where you want us to go, God. God, I give you permission, Lord, God, to uproot me, Lord. I give you permission, God, to push me, God, even when I don't want to be pushed, even when it makes me uncomfortable.